Welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's teaching is a continuation of the topic on false teachers. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave continues answering this hard question with a solid answer.
Here in Denver, September 17th, 1999, Benny Hinn said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll place a curse on every man and every woman that will stretch his hand against this anointing." The prosperity preachers say that a lot, by the way. Don't you touch his anointing. He says, "I curse that man who dares to speak a word against this ministry." After having pronounced a curse on his enemies and a blessing on his friends, Hinn explains that while this anointing is on him, his pronouncements cannot fail. In other words, he's infallible, rather like the Pope or God. He says, "Under this anointing, words I speak cannot fall to the ground. Everything I say happens." Well, I came out against what he had to say at that time, and I said that that he was a false prophet, and you shouldn't go to his crusade, and he does have absolutely no anointing from God whatsoever. So according to Benny Hinn, I've stretched out my hand against his anointing, and that I have a curse on me. When the book of Jude, when I taught through the book of Jude many years ago, it went on the radio, this is about 6 or 7 years ago, and I talked about this, and that how Benny Hinn is a false prophet, and I had someone call me, and he said, "I just touched the Lord's anointed, and that I am now cursed, and that we would be off the radio in 6 months. Well, since that time, we're now on twice a day. We're on Sundays. We're also on Grace TV. So neener, neener, neener. So what that means is the person who called, they're a false prophet. They're a false prophet. I believe that the reason that people follow Benny Hinn and the Kenneth Copelands and guys like that and go to the TBN network and whatnot is because they like what they're hearing. They're having their ears tickled. And you have people that are saying, "And I'm here to tell you something. Look at me. I got my yachts. I got my two mansions. I drive Rolls Royces. I have this. I have that." And you're going, "Well, it must be true." No, it's a Ponzi scheme. Those who get it in first, yeah, it's going to do that. When you're saying, "Hey, send some money in and I'll bless you," who's the one that's really getting blessed? The one that you're sending the money to. And so, of course, Benny Hinn's filthy rich, as well as Kenneth Copeland and everybody else that are selling this garbage because they're fleecing the people. And the ministers that are preaching that, who do you think they're preaching to? A crowd that's giving them money, that's making them wealthy. And they're going, "This is a great gig. You should all get churches and do this." But it only works for those who are professing that. It doesn't work for the actual layperson out there. But man, they get the juices going and everything else. I look at the prosperity gospel and what they're preaching, and Kenneth Copeland on his website says, "God's will concerning financial prosperity and abundance is clearly revealed in the scriptures. God's will is prosperity." And so he goes on, it says, "The man who holds to poverty rejects the establishment of the covenant. The man who holds to the covenant rejects poverty. Faith in the covenant pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God's will is prosperity." And he has one teaching after another. Poverty is an evil spirit. Prosperity is a major requirement in the establishment of God's will. God's will is for people to live in abundance, is what he says. Now, when I look at God's word, and when I look at Matthew 6:19, where he tells us, "Do not store up treasures on earth." Well, what prosperity stuff are you talking about? It's all stuff here on this earth. But God's word says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Why don't you go to Matthew 13 here. This is the parable of the sower. Verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in the parable, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came, devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was dried up, they were scorched because they had no root. There they withered. And some fell among the thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now go over here to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. He's going to explain it now. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arise, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Because there's no fruit, you're a false prophet. You're a false teacher. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 11. This is Paul. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. For I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I would venture to say that Paul, if he wasn't the greatest apostle that we've ever had, is definitely in the running. And yet he suffered need. Many times in his ministry he was abased. Did he not know the prosperity gospel? Does Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, do all these guys, Joyce Myers, do all of them know something that Paul didn't know? The arrogance of that. That Paul could actually say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that was not an arrogant statement. What that was, is that was a statement of concern of a man that understood what it was to imitate Christ. And the reason we know that he knows what it's like to imitate Christ, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And then we'll shoot over to chapter 11. We had someone this week share this as their devotion here. Paul, speaking in chapter 4, verse 7, says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's us. We're the earthen vessels that God pours himself into. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. Now go over here to chapter 11. This is just, there's been false teachers that have come in, false apostles, that are making fun of Paul because of all the hardship he's in. Much like the prosperity teachers do. Well, you don't believe. There's some lack of faith in your life, and that's why that's happening. You need to speak it forth, brother, and it will come to pass. And here, he's being charged in verse 5 all the way down. They're trying to add to his chains. They're trying to add to his misery. And then he says this in verse 22. All right. He'll say, actually, verse 16. I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as if foolishness were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. He's speaking about the false teachers. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. He's using sarcasm there. That's why I think sarcasm is from the Lord, because he's using it right there himself. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. So many times these false teachers will abuse their congregants. And he says, and they will exalt and parade themselves in front of you. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors. more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and that means something completely different. So you know, this is Colorado. I have to make this very clear. That means he was hit with rocks. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils in the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Does that sound like somebody who's living the prosperity gospel? Doesn't to me. Besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. He just gave a summary. There's more. He says, I'm not going to tell you what happens to me on a daily basis. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king was guarding the city of Damascus with garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. I think Paul is saying, look, this is what is to be expected. As a true believer in Jesus Christ, these things are going to happen. You're listening to someone who's telling you guys that you don't have to suffer. And look at Paul over here. He's not a true disciple of Christ. Look at all the suffering. Obviously, God doesn't like him. And Paul's going, all right, let's talk about this for a minute. You're going to tell me I don't know what it is to suffer for Christ? Let me tell you what I've been through, and I'm still professing Jesus Christ. Let's take away their money, and let's see if they still profess Jesus Christ. Ridiculous. Kenneth Copeland, on his understanding of the cross and the atonement of Jesus Christ. Here's what Kenneth Copeland believes. He says, he, Jesus, allowed the devil to drag him into the depths of hell as he were the most wicked sinner who ever lived. Every demon in hell came down on him to annihilate him. Every demon in hell tortured him beyond anything that anybody's ever conceived. For 3 days he suffered everything there is to suffer. Some people don't want to believe that. I'm one of them, by the way. When Jesus hung on the cross, what did he say? He said, tetelestai, which means what? It is finished, except for those next 3 days that I'm going to have to suffer. He didn't say that. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that he ever went to hell. He turned to the thief on the cross, and what did he say? Today you'll be with me where? Paradise. Doesn't sound like suffering to me. Paradise. Sounds like a pretty good place. He goes on and he says, they want to believe that after his death, Jesus just stayed in the upper region of Sheol, that the Bible calls paradise. Yeah, because that's what the Bible says. Where the saints waited for redemption, but they're mistaken. If he had simply stayed there, there would have been no price for sin. It's called the cross. For then, they would have been, what then would have been the use of shedding his precious blood? In a thunder of spiritual force, the voice of God spoke to the death whip, broken, punished spirit of Jesus. And the spirit of Jesus with resurrection power suddenly is twisted. Death-racked spirit began to fill out and come back to life. He began to look like something the devil had never seen before. He, Jesus, was literally being reborn before the devil's very eyes. See, they teach that Jesus was the first one to receive spiritual rebirth. They're saying the first person who was ever born again was Jesus. And that's not true. That's a lie. He, Jesus, was literally being reborn before the devil's very eyes. He began to flex his spiritual muscles. Jesus was born again. The firstborn from the dead, the word calls him. And he whipped the devil in his own backyard. He took everything he had away from him. He took his keys, his authority away from him. Jesus Christ dragged Satan up and down the halls of hell. Jesus was raised up a born-again man. The day I realized that a born-again man had defeated Satan and hell and death, I got so excited. He said at another time, he, Jesus, is suffering all that there is to suffer. There is no suffering left apart from him. He emaciated, poured out, little wormy spirit is down in the bottom of that thing, hell, and the devil thinks he got him destroyed. So, just so you know, this is what they all believe. And Joyce Myers believes this. Benny Hinn believes this. They all believe that Jesus had to suffer in hell for 3 days. And that's absolutely not true. What you're saying is that what Jesus said on the cross is not true then. Either it is finished or it's not. And he says, it is finished. Today you'll be with me in paradise, is what he told the thief. And that's where he was. He was in that region of Hades, Sheol, the grave. That's all the same place. It's the place of the dead, but there's a place of the unrighteous dead and there's a place of the righteous dead. And the place of the unrighteous dead is hell, the abuso, the abyss. Tartarus, another, you know, compartment there in the place of torments, it says in Luke 16. But there's a place of the righteous dead called paradise, and that's where all those who died in faith went, in Sheol. So this is a bad place in Sheol, a good place. Jesus went to the good place because he already finished it on the cross. But they have this understanding of he needed to be born again. Okay, and then he also says this. When he said it is finished on that cross, he was not speaking of the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption had just begun. There were still 3 days and three nights to be gone through. Jesus accepted the sin nature of Satan in his own spirit, and at the moment that he did so, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was down in that pit, and there he suffered the punishment of 3 horrible days and nights for Adam's treason. There is a new birth that takes place in the very depths of the earth when the command of God says, that's enough, loose him and let him go. That's his what happened on the cross to the throne. And this is what they believe. But yet Jesus is the one that says in John 19:30, when he received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, tetelestai. Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Telio, paid in full is what that means. Paid in full. According to Kenneth Copeland, obviously it wasn't. Obviously it wasn't. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing is refused, it is received with thanksgiving. So there are people that are having their conscience seared. They can't even hear the word of God. They can't even hear the word of God. Now, I just want to, hey Frank, can you run this? This is an audio of Joyce Myers. So, and I just want you to hear this. Says she's not a sinner, and that she's righteous, and that she can't be a sinner and righteous at the same time. I got tired of the world telling me that I'm a sinner. But what does God's word say in 1 John 1:8? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's so easy to go to the word of God. How can I be a sinner and righteous at the same time? Because you're still in your flesh, that's why. And your righteousness is imputed to you, and that speaks of your spirit. It's where all this false understanding comes from. You don't get it, but you want to believe you have this incredible anointing. They also teach that you're little gods. Just like Adam did not say that ye are gods. Aren't you the offspring of God, is what Kenneth Copeland would say. If you're the offspring of God, then you are gods yourself. You have this anointing. You're little gods, and that's why you can no longer sin. That's not what the Bible says. You say that you do not sin, you deceive yourself. You're a deceiver. She told you right there, prosperity, don't tell me that I'm poor. Don't tell me that I'm unhealthy. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. I don't tell you any of those things, but God's word does. And so we see these false teachers. They want to have this special anointing, and that speaks of the sin of Korah, if you ask me. That rebellion. Who made you? I'm just as good, and I'm even a little God, and I'm even... It's like, wow. It's the sin of Korah. Now, we don't have time tonight, but next week we are going to get down to the nitty-gritty with some of these people in the emerging church, some of these people in the Sign and Wonders movement. We're going to show you a video, a couple of videos of what's going on with the Sign and Wonders movement today. A lot of people thought, well, wasn't that back in the early 90s with the Toronto Blessing and the prophets, the Kansas City prophets, and didn't that kind of come and go through John Wimber and the Vineyard movement and things like that? Yes, it did, and it has been going strong ever since, and it's given birth to a new group, Rick Joyner, Todd Bentley, a guy named John Crowder, all these guys, and they are going around the world, and they are having thousands that are coming to their crusades, and people are doing extremely crazy things. Even this guy at Bethel Church in Redding, California, where a lot of worship songs that we sing came from, by the way. And there's this frenzy. It is a strange fire, and it's not from God. It's scary. It's very scary, because I know people who are involved with that. I have a dear friend that kind of came up in the ministry with, and he's been flying out there to Bethel Church in Redding, California. He's coming back with all this crazy doctrine. And I'm just going, oh, how does this happen? Where's the discernment? But you get caught up in the emotion, and it's perverse, and they twist the words of God. And it sounds so good. Itching ears. Jude said they've already crept in. Paul said it's going to happen. Jesus said it's going to happen. We shouldn't really be surprised by it. But we're going to talk a little bit more about Joel Osteen. His is more of a Christianity light. He believes in this prosperity gospel himself, but he will not bring himself to speak of sin or repentance or judgment or hell. He'll preach his gospel in the way of, yeah, you know, the Lord just wants you to come to him, and he died for you, and he wants what's best for you, and he wants you to have an abundant life, and this and that, everything, he wants you to have it now, and all the books that he's written and things like that. It's a very positive message. Bill O'Reilly has had him on. Other people have had him on. They just love him because of this positive message, and he doesn't divide, and he doesn't, you know, well, basically call sin, sin. He won't do that. And so people say, do you think he's a false teacher? I do think he's a false teacher. I'm still holding out for him. He's very illiterate when it comes to the Word of God. He really doesn't know what the Word of God says. And it's my hope and desire that as he studies the Word of God, if he does, that God will grab hold of his heart. I'm still holding out for him that maybe God will change his heart. I see the other ones in the movement, and I just go, their conscience is seared. This is what they've chosen to do. I'm just hoping it wouldn't, you know, it'd be great if we had someone like him turn, and he has 25, 30,000 that come to his church, and then he can truly start preaching the Word of God the way it's supposed to be preached. But the Bible makes it very clear we're going to suffer because Christ suffered. We see the apostles themselves, they did not live out the prosperity gospel. There was not one person in the Word of God that lived out the prosperity gospel in the way that they teach it. Not one. That's a big problem. Big problem.
That concludes this Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune into this radio station on Monday as we continue our series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. child care is available during all our weekend services. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.